Welcome along to the Three Teachers Podcast, where the goal is to elevate your English. Join hosts Ken and Andy, both experienced English teachers, as they take you on a journey to fluency. Each week, they will be joined by a special guest to share their experience and offer valuable tips and insights on all things English. And in today's episode, we will be talking all things fluency with teacher Marty from Chile. So tune in, join the conversation, and we will help you achieve your English language goals and elevate your English. So welcome along for those that are tuning in. Hello, everyone. My name's Ken from Get English Tips, and this is the Three Teachers Podcast, where English learners will ask us questions and three teachers will do their best to answer the questions for you. Today's topic is going to be all about English fluency. And today we have Andy and we have Martin. So Andy, let's hear a little bit about yourself.
Hi, guys. I am Andy from Andy's Everyday English. I am a teacher with 14 years experience, and I am specialized in second language learners. I have a background in journalism and also in business, and I decided to shift into teaching while I was studying or at the end of my career in journalism. So, through the years, I have also focused on exam preparation, and I've done IELTS, Cambridge exam, TOEFL, you name it. I've done it almost all when it comes to exams, and I am passionate about them, and I also work with business English. That's me.
Excellent. Welcome, Andy and Martin. Hello, Martin. Say hello to everybody.
Hello, guys. My name is Martin, for those who don't know me. I'm an English teacher from Chile, and I have been teaching for about 8 years now.
Wow.
I started very young, when I was 17. I wasn't like a real teacher, like certified teacher back then, but I knew that was my true calling, I would say, right? So I felt like this is my thing. Yeah, I started very young teaching kids, some friends, some classmates, and now, well, back in 2021, like March 2021, I got my TOEFL certificate, right? And now I can say I'm a teacher, right? I have an English teacher. Learning community. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Carry on.
So, yeah. Well, I also have an English learning community for Spanish speakers that I created 2 years ago. Or almost 3 years ago, let's say, more than 2 years ago, like in December 2020. And since then, I have been meeting people from all over the world, students and amazing teachers like Andy, right? Andy, she's one of the first teachers I met on Instagram when I started my account. So it means a lot to me to be here with her and with you. And thank you so much for the invitation. Honored to be here.
As they say, we go way back, baby.
Way back.
Exactly. So I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Excellent. Tonight. What's your platform, Martin, on social media, on Instagram?
What's your username? Mm-hmm. You can find me on Instagram as Martinglish _ and on TikTok as Martinglish. Marty and then English.
Marty
English. But my name is Martin, but I just wanted to, you know, have a cool name. I think it was cool, so I just chose that name.
So is it Marty, M-A-R-T-Y?
No, that's Martin. M-A-R-T-I. Yeah. And then English. Oh, yeah, awesome. And then English, yeah.
All right, so M-A-R-T-I, English, then _, yeah?
Yeah, on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, yeah. And that's the same for TikTok as well, did you say?
Yeah, and we also have an account for our community, which is Talk and Learn.
Oh, wow.
So it's talk.and.learn. And, well, that's a different account. We upload some videos there as well and post. So, yeah, you can follow us there. If you want to join the community, you can also do that. We have class for, well, the community was made for Spanish speakers, but we also have classes in English, like fully in English. So you can go even more from different countries. So it's fine.
Perfect. Welcome along, Martin. Marty, welcome along. So those that don't know me, my name's Ken. I'm from Scotland in the United Kingdom, and I've been teaching English since the year 2008. So what's that, 15, 16 years, my God. So I've taught... I've taught in classrooms all over the world. I've taught in, I've lived in 10 countries in the world. I've visited 56, and I speak an additional 4 languages conversationally, but not really, you know, in-depth conversation we can have. So because I've been traveling so much, I've managed to pick up a couple of languages along the way, you know. Predominantly, which means mainly, my background has been in finance and in business, and for the last 10 years, I've been helping university graduates prepare for interviews as flight attendants and cabin crew with airlines all over the world. So there we have here, the three of us here. Today's topic, as I mentioned, is going to be all about fluency in English. So without further ado, or further ado, I don't know why people don't say that, further ado, further ado. Let's have a look. What do you think of that, Andy? Further ado, further ado.
I think that a lot of people don't know that it exists. And uh-huh. If they do, perhaps they believe that it's kind of outdated.
Oh, really?
Yeah, uh-huh. Exactly. It looks like it. Because, for example, I have groups of teenagers. I have 4 groups of teenagers in total. They are almost 80 in total, if I count my groups. And those guys, like, every time that I talk to them, they're kind of like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, guys, is this, I mean, they called Harry Potter a classic.
Oh my goodness.
That's how old they made me feel. All right. So thank you very much. I'm only saying.
Wow. Right. So without further ado, what does it mean without further ado? What does it mean? Without further ado, Martin, do you know?
Let's get started, basically.
Let's get started. No more interruptions. It's a great way, actually, for if you're going to do a presentation, you know, in front of people and you don't know how to start. You do your introduction and then just say, right, without further ado, let's get into it, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's have a look. Let's have a look. So today's first question we have is how to become a fluent speaker. How to become a fluent speaker? This is the first question that I got asked. Mm-hmm. The million-dollar question, how to be a fluent speaker, the thing that everybody wants to be, how to be a fluent speaker. Andy or Marty, who would like to kick us off? Andy? Oh, Marty, you want to start? Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was going to.
Okay.
This is really important because, Marty, English isn't your main language, right? Spanish, obviously.
Yeah, it's my second language, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other languages on top of that?
No, I was learning Russian.
Really?
Uh-huh, I was learning Russian back then. Yeah, like a year ago, but I stopped. To be honest,
Why did you stop?
I didn't like it. Yeah, I didn't like it that much. So I didn't feel the connection with the language. But I learned some phrases, learned some words, but just like 2 or 3, but it's fine. But English, cool. I love it.
Uh-huh. So excellent. So what would be your tip is then? I love your accent, by the way. It's very American. You've got an American twang into your accent, you know? So you do actually, you know, you don't have the Spanish twang, you have an American twang for my ears anyway, when you're speaking.
I work hard for that. And also sometimes, you know, this is something very cool that happened to me, like let's say a year ago. I had always said the word new, right? And then I learned that new, you say new, that's more like British, and the American way is new. And it was new. I've always said new. So when you are a non-native teacher of the language, basically you start learning from different accents, right? Of course, I focused on American accent. However, I also watched movies with a British accent, right? Like Harry Potter, right?
So everyone's favorite.
Sometimes in the water, sometimes I like to use my British accent sometimes, but it's not really good, to be honest. So That's the thing. Okay, but about fluency, right?
Yeah. So what would be your, what would be, how did you become fluent in English? What would, what, you know, people here are going to be listening. How did we become fluent? What would you say?
Yeah. So if I have to say just one sentence,
yes.
If I have to say just one sentence, it's just, you need to practice. All right. Now, of course, now I can say more about that. But the thing is that the first challenge is not even pronunciation or grammar, you know. The first challenge that students must face is procrastination and the lack of commitment. I think mindset is very important if you're going to learn a language, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can teach you techniques like shadowing technique, natural approach. I can teach you the way, right? However, if then you are not going to practice, it's not worth it at all, right? Mm-hmm. I always say that. I mean, I have weekly free classes in my community. And I say, you know, guys, today I'm going to have, we're going to have a really good class about this topic, right? But if you don't practice and tomorrow you're speaking Spanish the whole day, or you are not using English, then you are not being immersed in the language. Mm-hmm. You need to be immersed, right? That's
what do you, what, can I stop you there? What do you mean by procrastination? Students are procrastinating. What do you mean by that?
For our learners. Postpone things. Like, you know, maybe I'll study tomorrow, I'll do my homework next week, and they never do it, right? It happens.
Mañana. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have to fight that first. Like, they have to know that the right mindset is key to mastering the language, to be fluent, right?
Mm.
Why? Because, like I said, it's about immersion, it's about practicing.
Yeah.
Hopefully every day, you know, if you can, because that's what the whole thing is about. You have to make English part of your life. That's how you become fluent, right?
Mm.
That's how you start understanding how it works.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
that's the thing, you know, have to be listening to English music all the time, English movies all the time. So
yeah,
your brain will start associating sounds and words, you know, and that's how I learned. To be honest, you know, I didn't learn through grammar. I learned grammar after I could speak and listen, right?
Mm.
So I remember I was 14 years old. I would play a lot of video games in English, right? A lot of video games. And also I would listen to Bon Jovi, Linkin Park, different groups, right? And I remember that I could sing, I could have a really good pronunciation of the words because I was exposed to the language. I didn't even want to learn. I just was learning by doing things, right? I didn't want to learn English. I was just doing things. So if you do that, you will be one step closer to becoming fluent. I think that's very, very important to know.
Yeah.
And then you have the techniques, right? Like what you can do. Like, for example, I use the automation and creation technique. Right?
What's that mean? What's automation creation? Explain to me.
It's a method that I developed. I don't know if it already exists, but basically I use it in my classes, right? In my classes. So this is a way for you to learn without grammar, right?
Mm.
Or maybe a little grammar, not much grammar. So the thing is that automation is, for example, when, even if you ask a question to a beginner, right? What is your name? They're going to answer, my name is, automatically, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that what they said was an automatic question. I mean, answer.
Answer. Okay?
So even if it was too easy, they could speak English, right? They are beginners. They don't know how to speak English. Still, they answer the question because that is in their brain already, right?
Yeah.
So they can use it anytime they want. So basically, they learned that phrase at first. They associated that phrase with the meaning in Spanish. And then they have to learn how to use it in context, in different conversation topics, right? And they use it immediately. So you can automate a lot of phrases and words. And that's the first step to becoming a fluent speaker because you are learning the pronunciation, you're learning the vocabulary, right? And then the second step is creation, right? Like when you create your own sentences, right? So basically, creation becomes easier if you have automated a lot of phrases, right? So, for example, you want to create a new sentence by yourself. So you can use different words and phrases that you have already automated, right? to use it in your original phrase. So I teach it this way because I can see that it works. You don't have to use grammar that much, right? And I'm just teaching them how I learned. I actually learned, I automated, then I started, you know, putting things together. Okay, I can create this phrase, you know, but you know, this technique requires you to be very committed to the learning process, you know, because you have to do it every day. Sure. Otherwise, you will not see that you are improving, right?
Yeah, yeah. So are you actually talking about learning in sentences rather than individual vocabulary? Yeah.
Yeah, to associate the meaning in the context, you know, in a real conversation. That's what I mean. I think works very, very well.
Okay. Andy, what about you? What's your thoughts? I mean, we've heard there like about automation and creation, etc. What's your thoughts on this?
I do like Martin's technique. Actually, we apply it quite often in classes, you know, in the academy and all. But you know, the thing is that from my point of view, when it comes to fluency, if you go to the definition of fluency, everybody have their own idea about like, okay, for me, fluency is like speaking fast. There is like, this is a myth, like speaking fast in English, and not making mistakes, right? Mm. So the thing is that if we go to the definition of what fluency really means, it actually, it's like when we are able to shift or navigate smoothly through our mother tongue towards our target tongue. And we can communicate and we can express ideas in a coherent, clear way, right? But the thing about fluency is that, for example, Martin's technique is fine when you are the kind of person that, and using his own words, that you can put two and two, you know, like when you can start putting things together easily. But a lot of people don't have that capacity. So what happens? I'm going to talk to those who like, okay, I'm not the kind of person that can put two and two together. What can I do? Help. Because what is the common, you know, like answer that we get from student guys? When you ask them something, the automatic answer, what it be? What would that be? I don't know.
Immediately.
Right? They don't give themselves a minute to think about it, to analyze it, you know, like the question that has been asked. So the thing is that in order to become fluent or to try becoming more fluent, I think that being actively present is important.
What's that mean, actively present?
Yes, it means that a lot of people are just physically there, but not mentally there.
Interesting. The lights are on, but no one's home.
Exactly. So I'm not saying that you're not paying attention to what the person is saying. I'm saying that if you don't have a mastery to a certain degree of the language, obviously this is like when you turn on and off a switch, a light switch. And for you, there is going to be like this communication with some sort of, it's going to be intermittent. It's not going to be fluid. And therefore, we're going to fail in communication because, for example, this happens when we don't have enough vocabulary, when we don't have the grammar structures, because probably the person is, you know, using a grammar structure that this other person don't really know. Probably they're using collocations or phrasals that they are unfamiliar with. So the thing about communication is and fluency, it happens like not just being persistent, but being there, you know, like being present in the moment. So you can actually make a conscious activation of the language to say it without being too technical. So the thing is that I do believe that what Martin is saying is absolutely fine, and that's what we should do. But for absolute beginners, trying to connect things, it's like a very little percentage of people who actually manage that. This can actually happen when you pass through, you know, like the low intermediate gate. But when you are like a full beginner, You really do have to be consistent in the way that you have to do the work. And I know, Martin, that's why we're friends, because we have different philosophies when it comes to things. And but we do respect our opinions when it comes to that. I am a true believer of grammar without being a purist, though, because I do believe that we do need the bones. You know, we do need the bones and the structure in order to understand it. And of course, please correct me, guys, if I'm wrong. You might say like, oh, but native speakers don't know the actual grammar, right? But you're not a native speaker.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I first got into teaching, I hadn't, well, before I got into teaching, I was living in Spain. I think I've told you before. And my Spanish friend asked me, they said, Ken, what's the perfect tense in English? And she could have been speaking Swahili to me. I had no idea what they were talking about, you know. So we don't learn this. Native speakers really don't, well, certainly for myself, we don't learn all this at school. We have to kind of go out and, you know, we just speak. And if we want to be a teacher, we have to learn the kind of nuts and bolts of it all, you know. What do you think, though? What can people do you think to increase their fluency? Martin's gone.
He's gone.
He'll come back on.
To finish my idea about you know what I was saying. That for this reason I do believe that you know, second language learners, they do understand and know the language in depth. They know the language a lot better than us, you know, like than any native speaker for that matter, because of course we've got the knowledge because we are trained in the language and we have learned this through the years, right? When you are a second language learner, I think that the beauty of it is, especially when you pick up the language as a teenager and, you know, like older, like in your 20s, in your 30s and up, the strategy and the methodology has to be a lot different. It has to be more rational in a way, perhaps. At least that's from my experience.
What do you mean by more rational?
You know, the thing is that when I learned Italian is because my mom was being transferred to Rome. And I think that I was 11. I was still very little, but still, you know, when I was from 11 to 12, that was that entire year that I was learning Italian. Of course, I have Italian roots, and for me, it was some way easy, you know, or easier to connect to the language. But When I started, for example, learning Mandarin as an adult when I was in my 20s, in comparison to what I was studying when I was studying Italian, for me, it came like supernatural. And you know, I was kind of like Martin, like, yes, I love this. This is part of my identity. I am like, absolutely in love. But when I started learning Mandarin, I needed to rationalize it in order to make it sensical. Through the, you know, like to understand the code. Otherwise, for me, it was like, I couldn't see how to organize that information in my mind. Again, that's me as a learner.
Yeah. When I was learning Spanish, I was living in Spain, and thankfully, Spanish and English was kind of like a joint language. So it wasn't kind of compulsory. You could get away with speaking English, you know. But I thought, how can I become fluent in Spanish, or at least kind of progress my Spanish from here to here, you know? And I remember one day I was looking for an apartment to rent, and it had a sign, you know, circular, you know, for rent. And I thought, oh my God, it's got a phone number. I have to make this phone call. But what am I going to do? And I was sweating. You know, I was really panicking. People aren't going to understand me. They're not going to know what I'm going to say. I'm going to I'm going to fumble my words. They're not going to come out. So I wrote down a conversation, you know, in Spanish, what they're going to say, what I'm going to say, what they're going to say, what I'm going to say. And it, very, very easy. It started hola, buenos dias. Hola, ¿qué tal? You know, and it was, hello, how are you? Hello, good day. And it started off very basic. And then I practiced this conversation, you know, do you have an apartment for rent on the street? Yes, we do. So I practiced this all in Spanish. And it took me about a day to pluck up the confidence to have this phone call. So I took a deep breath. I've dialed a number. I had it all prepared, what I wanted to say. And then I said it. And it was really, really easy. Easier than I ever thought it would be, you know. And I've always kind of used this, having the preparation to know what you want to say before you say it. For me, fluency is all about being prepared what you want to say, you know. I had to give, you know, a talk in front of 200 people. And I was panicking, but then I realized I know what I'm going to say. Just do it, you know. So for me, fluency is all about being prepared and knowing what you want to say. And once you do it once, I feel it becomes a lot easier than that. How do you think that people can prepare what they want to say? Because there's two things in English I feel. There's exam English and there's conversational English. For me, I like exam English, but I prefer just conversational English, you know, which is totally different. It's like conversational Spanish and you know, exam Spanish, totally different, isn't it? You know, so I feel that, you know, the first thing that you're talking about is having the confidence to be able to speak in your foreign language, in your second language. How do you think people can prepare themselves to be able to speak in a foreign language, especially bear in mind that they don't live in that country, they have no one to speak to? How do you think they can practice their fluency? Because most people won't be able to afford to speak to a native teacher or a teacher in general. So what would you say? How can you encourage people to speak in their second language if they've no one to speak to? Marty.
Yeah, sure. Sorry about before, because the battery of my computer died. That's why I left the meeting. I'm here. Hello. Okay. So about that, the question was about how the person can feel more prepared when speaking, more confident, let's say.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first thing is that first, you don't have to look for perfection, but you have to speak in a way that people can understand you, right? You may make mistakes, right? Uh-huh. But if your message is understood, you did your job. I think that's the most important thing, because I think what stop people from trying is that, oh, I'm going to make a mistake. You know, I don't want to make mistakes. Mm. But as learners, you have to make them. You have to realize that maybe I didn't say that well. You know, maybe I can correct that, right? So the first thing is to accept that you will make mistakes. Right. Once you do that, you're going to go easy on yourself. Like, okay, you know, maybe it's not that hard. I just need to say that, you know, where I need to ask them where the bathroom is. Right. That's all. Right. So, so that's the thing. So don't put that much pressure on yourself, but just relax. Okay. That's very important. And accept that there will be mistakes. And when you are getting out of your comfort zone, you will feel really uncomfortable. Right. Mm-hmm. And that is the thing. You have to see this as an opportunity to grow more than like, oh, I'm going to fail and I'm going to feel so bad, embarrassed. Because to be honest, that happened to me when I was 17, actually. Uh-huh, I was taking a four-month course, speaking course. And I always tell this story because that way people can relate, right? And understand what I'm saying. I was taking this four-month speaking course. Mm-hmm. And it was face to face, so you know, it was hard back then. I was 17. I was a kid, you know. I was 17, so I remember that the teacher asked me a question, and I answered, and I think it was fine. And then he repeated the question, and I answer again, and I was like, "Am I saying something wrong?" You know. And then the teacher was, you know, kind of not laughing, was smiling, like, "That's funny," and my classmate, which was like right next to me, started laughing so loud at my face, you know. She was basically making fun of me right next to me, you know. I was like, in my face was all red. I was so embarrassed, you know, I felt really uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember that back then my English level was really good, right? I was at the last level. It was my last month in the course. And I felt so bad, you know? And I finished the class and I was like, okay, what do I do? Mm. I give up and I just stopped trying to learn because a random person, you know, made fun of me, or I should accept this as a way to improve. You know, I need to improve. Maybe I did something wrong and I need to improve, right? So that decision is the decision that brought me here. You know, like years later, I have a community, I'm teaching English, I met Andy, I met you, right? So that's the price you have to pay if you want to get out of your comfort zone. You will face.
How do you get out of your comfort zone then, Mari? How did you? I understand what you mean about, oh my God, I can't speak Spanish, you know. How did you get yourself out of this scenario where you feel people are going to be pointing the finger and laughing at you? Because in a lot of cultures, it's all about showing face and they don't want to feel ridiculed. They don't want to feel, oh no, I'm doing it wrong. People will laugh at me. I'm never going to show my face again. For a lot of people, that's very, very stressful, you know? So how did you get out of that comfort? How did you get out of that zone where you felt, oh, I need to get out of this, you know, I have to face it? Because it is difficult. How did you do it?
Once you become more responsible for your actions and emotions and thoughts, you will see that it's not that hard. Because to be honest, we can't control what is out there. We cannot control the weather. We cannot control how people will react to certain things, right? But what we can control is the way we manage things, how we react to things, right? Uh-huh. Once you start being more responsible in that way, in that sense that you are, okay, it doesn't matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. Mm. That's the thought you have to have. Like, it doesn't matter if they make fun of me, doesn't matter if this goes wrong, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah,
that's the thing. That's what you have to think, because you control that, right? Mm. A lot of things can happen. A lot of things can happen. And you can control them, but what you can do is to say, okay, you know, that's bad. Now, that happened to me, you know, that happened. It was like, okay, what is my next step? And what is my reaction to this? I give up or I continue?
Yeah.
I continue. Right. Yeah. So if you understand how powerful you are, you will see that there's nothing to worry about. To be honest, I was, every time I do something new, like this podcast, like, you know, another thing that I think as well is like, well, in 100 years, I'm gonna be dead, right? So, who cares? Like, I'm always like that.
Positive, you know? Thinking.
Yeah, like, yeah. You know, apart from being like, I mean, I'll be okay. It's like, you know, doesn't really matter. We don't live forever, so it's like, let's do this. I always think that way, because otherwise, people are so afraid to live. You know,
to take
action, and that stops you from doing things, and you live your life in your box, little box, very comfortable. But you know, they say that comfort zone kills dreams.
Mm-hmm. All right, good one. Andy, what about you? What would you think about how someone can get out of their comfort zone? I mean, because it is difficult, you know. What?
Well, I don't know. My perspective is kind of like weird. It's hybrid.
Weird.
Yeah, because by nature, I am an introvert.
Uh-huh.
And we have a misconception about the concept of introverts. Introverts are not shy people. We are just people that we need to recharge more often than others.
All right.
And yes, I mean, literally, thanks to TikTok, and I love my A off. I laugh my A off every time that I see this kind of TikToks, because, for example, there are like, there is like this meme about people at parties recharging in bathrooms, like, you can do this. Okay. And hi, everybody, again, right? That's me. Like, all the way me. So I do understand when people, you know, like, they experience like this speaking anxiety. But of course, if you are like a lower level, you're kind of like, what is it that I'm gonna say? I mean, I have no words, I have no vocabulary, right?
Yeah.
In this case, is here where I love an Italian word that it says, you gotta be a little bit of a faccia tosta, right? And it means like, you gotta put some face there. It's kind of like, just as Martin said,
yeah,
go out there and do stuff. Because when it comes to language learning and this kind of experiences where we have to interact with others, we are all being a little bit vulnerable in a way or another. It doesn't matter if you're an extrovert. It doesn't matter if you're an introvert. We are all, we're exposed. So I know that I go over the bush a lot when it comes to that, because I don't want to offend anybody, and I want to try to be as accurate as possible. But it is true. I mean, it really does depend on the person. And becoming more fluent is really just asking yourself the right questions about also why are you doing this?
I mean,
what is your purpose of communicating? So fluency is, you got to do the inner work. Learning another language is also getting in touch with, who you are as an individual, because you are rediscovering a new identity when you're learning a language. So for this reason, when Martin said like, oh, I didn't feel like this connection with Russian, I absolutely got him, because I said like, yeah. And this, the same thing happens that within the language, even though you are connected to the language, it happens also with how we select words. I mean, how we express ourselves. Are you the kind of person who would use this kind of tone or words? I mean, like, who are you as an individual?
It's
so hard. There is a lot of inner work that goes there.
You know, I went to acting school a few years ago, you know, in my mid-20s, and one of the things they taught me was to put a different head on for different situations. And you'll see my name here, Ajarn Ken. Ajarn is the Thai word for teacher or professor, and Ken is my name. So when I become Ajarn Ken, I'm not afraid to make mistakes. I will speak the Thai language in front of my Thai students, and they will laugh. I'll make lots of mistakes, but I don't care, because Ajarn Ken can do that, you know? I got it. The singer, I don't know if I've mentioned before, the singer Beyoncé has got an alter ego called Sasha Fierce. And she can go on stage and do all these sexy dancing, etc. And she leaves Sasha Fierce on the stage. And then when she comes off, she's Beyoncé, the housewife again, you know? And when she goes on stage, Sasha Fierce takes over. And I feel when you're learning a language so that you don't need to be scared, is have this alter ego. You know, Martin, the English speaker, Andy, the English speak, for example, you know, so that this person is bulletproof, or I am titanium, you know, I cannot be, nobody can hurt me, you know, because I don't care. I'm learning this, you know. So I often feel that putting a different hat on for each situation kind of makes you bulletproof to anything that can go wrong, you know.
I think that this answers one of the questions that you have in the list. It was like, how do I prepare for a speech? I think
This is, I was going to come on to this next. This one here is, I'm a student, I have to give a presentation tomorrow. Can you give me some advice for presentations? What are you saying about that, Andy?
Yeah, I think that you answered it perfectly well. I mean, it goes, everything is kind of like interconnected when it comes to that. And giving presentations is all about being prepared. I mean, and in my particular case, it's like knowing your audience. The better you know your audience, the better speaker you'll be. Because, I mean, you can have a doctorate in whatever field, but if you don't know your audience, there is no connection, people are going to perceive you as like somewhat incompetent. And and then it doesn't matter if you're like the best in the field, it's not going to come through. So that's my very quick like tip advice.
Preparation. Absolutely right. Anything you want to ask, answer, Martin, about preparing yourself for presentations in a nutshell?
Yeah,
I mean, you've obviously had to give presentations in English, you know, to your classes. So what advice in a nutshell could you give people to give presentations?
Yeah, the last time I gave a presentation was like when I was in college, like literally. But if we talk about classes, like, yeah, I prepare myself. I know what I want, what I'm going to say. I know what the topic is. So apart from that, you have to know the audience, like Andy said, you know, who are my students, right? That's what I need to know as well. But this gets complicated when I have free classes because I have people like from everywhere, right? Background. So the thing is that that's why my classes, I try to make my classes as, you know, as global as possible, like maybe general, right? When they are free classes. The thing is that about giving a presentation, one of the things you have to avoid is to maybe getting too nervous, right? And when you talk about the alter ego thing, you know, about other personalities, not personality, but another you, like that happened to me.
Yeah.
And helped me overcome shyness. I was really shy. I was really, really shy when I was 14, 15, 16. I remember, you know, and English allowed me to overcome that, you know, and
really
interesting. It was very interesting because I remember that every conversation I had with myself, that when I needed motivation, like, okay, I can do this. I would do it in English all the time, not in Spanish, in English. I can do this. I can do that. I can participate in this. I can make friends. I can do this. Right. So that's very interesting. Now that I think about it, it's like English always gave me like the motivation to, to move forward, right. And to do something, to do things out of my comfort zone. Right. Because when I was speaking Spanish, I was like too shy. I had that version of myself. Like, you know, I didn't really have a really cool, let's say, stage in school. I spent very, very bad years there. I was terrible. Right. So English helped me overcome all that and to become maybe like a better version of myself, you know,
Your superpower.
Like a superpower. Yeah, exactly. Beautiful. English is beautiful. That's why I love it so much. And I want more people to know how to speak fluently and maybe to help them this way. Like it helped me, you know.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, I think to become more fluent is kind of, from your experience then, is to kind of put a different head on, to become this different person. And it really, do you feel that you became more, your attitude changed?
More confident. I became more confident in general. Like when I was, of course, in environments where I have to speak English, but also it affected how I interact with people in Spanish as well. You know, it was very cool because when I turned 19, I was able to make friends and, you know, to be out. I had, to be honest, when I was 19, I went and studied very far from my house, far from my parents, you know, alone in a city that I didn't know anyone in that city, you know? So I had to make friends from scratch. It was a challenge for me. And I said, you know, I can do this, you know? And I think it was thanks to English that I could see that it's possible. I was like, you know, I can be this person if I want. And since then I've been trying to teach this as well. Like, you know, English is not only language, you know, it's going to be another you, another soul that you can have, you know?
Fantastic. It's a brilliant, fantastic way to look on it, you know? Excellent way to look at it.
That happens, you know, like not just with English. It happened with like whatever language you want to work on. It's really, I remember that I usually around Christmas time, I give to my larger groups, I send them gifts and tokens or something like that. And that this bottle over here was this Christmas gift, and it's kind of like a water bottle, and it says to learn English is to have one more window from which to look at the world.
Perfect.
So yeah, and I love this saying because it's actually in Globes what Martin has said. It's really like that. It's like wearing a new pair of glasses, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Love it.
Good. Right. So there we go. Fluency. Lots to take away from there. Yeah. Fantastic. And really, really interesting. Yeah. We've got a question here. Moving on. We've got a question. I don't know if you can see this yet. Here we go. Someone's asked on my Facebook, is bloody an acceptable word to be used in another country? Is bloody an acceptable word? Bloody.
Okay.
Do you guys know about this word bloody?
Yeah, but let's connect it to the idea of fluency again.
Tell me, yes.
All right. So, for example, from my American perspective view, point of view, when somebody says like bloody, for me, it doesn't affect that much because I am not that connected to that word, which I understand that it's kind of like a strong word for maybe those that have like, or that are under a British influence. Am I right?
Yeah, bloody is like the word very, but very, very, exactly. Very. It's almost like a curse word, a swear word in English.
It's like for us when we say the F word, this effing thing, right?
Yeah.
More or less, right? I'm not going to say it. My mother listened to this podcast and she's kind of like, did I talk?
It's so cute.
So yeah, no, I'm kidding. But the thing is that, speaking about fluency, and this also, it's really interesting. Fluency, people think that adopting a lot of slang words, it's part of fluency to a point. It is true. Yeah. But of course, since we were talking about know your audience and, you know, like you have to understand what is the context that you're, the context that you're in and the people that you're talking to, obviously, you're not going to use that word, nor bloody, you know, or the F word, of course. And you see, for me, I say it like so normally because I'm not emotionally connected to the word, you see? But of course, if I use the F word, it's kind of like, no, it's a total no-no for me, right?
Yeah,
it's kind of like, no, right? So this is also really interesting. I don't know, is that your feeling, Martin? Do you feel
exactly. I don't feel connection with the word because I don't speak British English. Like I can say bloody, it's good for me. Like, oh, bloody, okay. But if I say the other word, I think that's too rude. I think it's rude. Like, I don't know if I should say that, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, since I watched series like Sherlock Holmes, you know, on Netflix, and they said bloody hell and a lot of things like that, you know, then when I'm watching the series, I'm like, maybe that word is strong, you know? But then when I stop watching it, it's like, oh, I don't care. Because maybe I don't feel the connection, right? But at that moment, I do. Like when I'm watching the series, like that's strong, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
But other than that, not really.
Depends. Not really at all. I think for those, bloody obviously means very, but it's a strong very. We in English, I guess in many other languages, you have different levels of your language.
Yes.
So we've got very. If you don't want to say bloody, you can say blooming or blinking. So I mean, I would never say bloody to my grandparents, you know, it's too strong a word. But I might say blooming or blinking, you know, maybe that. And I wouldn't say the F word, but I might say effing, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
I know in like Ireland, my friends in Ireland, they don't say the F word, but they say feck, F-E-C-K, which is a totally acceptable, everyone uses it in every situation in everyday life, you know. So it becomes part of the real everyday vocabulary, you know. But yes,
we got to be careful because I mean, I do understand. And we as teachers, we use, you know, like TV series and movies as our like main source that you've got there. I mean, it's there for you. Just take it, use it. Right. But with a pinch of salt.
Because
I mean, it is really important for you to understand when and if you can use it, if it's appropriate.
Yeah.
I would say if you're not sure, don't.
Don't
and this
use
goes
it.
In any context because you don't know who you might be offending or if like people are going to look at you like, huh, what is it that you're trying to say?
Yeah. There's an American English word. Is it jerk or something like that? That we never say in British.
Oh, yeah.
And I know it's quite a strong word in an American, but for British, I'm like, what?
Strong-ish.
Yeah.
You know? But I wouldn't, for example, I might call my boss that. No, I'm kidding. He's a sweet. but the thing is that using it is kind of like a little strong.
There are words in every language that it comes with feeling. I know the Spanish words. I know the words in Thai, the feeling words. For me to say some cuss words in Spanish would mean nothing to me. Because I don't have any connection to that, as you said, Martin, you know, I don't have.
So
curse words, really, the question was, is bloody an acceptable word to be used in another country? Really, other people in other countries, as Martin and Andy have said, They won't recognize it at all. They won't, bloody, what are you talking about? Or they might make fun of the accent, you know, bloody hell. You
bloody,
know, but,
bloody.
As an aside, you know, bloody came from maybe 200 years ago where a lot of the wealthy people were drunks. You know, they would get drunk and they would be very rude to other people. And these were called the Bloods. This is where it comes from. So this gang of people who were very posh and very drunk and very rude.
No, I
we would say, oh, here the bloody come. So this is where it comes from, you know. So wow. There you go. A bit of history for you, yeah? A bit of history.
I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, there you go.
That's how you create new words in English, right?
Exactly. So what else have we got here? Student presentation. Here's what I don't know. My English is not fluent. Fluency again. I could not make a sentence. Sentence making is difficult for me. How to improve with sentences?
I think I can answer that.
Yes.
That's what I was explaining, the thing about, you know, automation and creation. The thing is that also gives you the opportunity to create sentences, right? I mean, because some people are so focused on learning, right, and to understand, and that's good. Some people actually understand a lot of English, but they can use it. I mean, basically they can use what they know, right?
Yeah.
And why is that? Because they don't use it, they don't practice speaking or writing, right? So that's what I meant when I actually talked about automation. So it's a less grammatical way to learn, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's when grammar, you can teach grammar there as well, you know. Like, you know, this is how you structure the sentence correctly, so you feel more confident when you are making a sentence, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my advice for this person is that you have to start using what you know. Like, start small, you know. Okay, what's your name? My name is, very easy, right?
Yeah.
How old are you? I'm 25 years old. What do you like doing? So they have to get used to speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they never do that, they will never be able to be fluent, because they won't be speaking anything. So,
you know, sports people talk about muscle memory, and yeah. Like people like Messi and Beckham, they would say that they would practice, you know, certain things all the time, so that it became like second nature. They didn't need to think about it. Their brain was already doing it before their body was doing it, you know? And this is the same as language, I guess, yeah? It's your muscle memory coming in. This is how to respond. This is how to change it a little bit, yeah?
Yeah, that happened to me. That's why I'm saying that, like, of course, this is easier for some people. Andy was right. Like, you know, some people learn better through grammar, other, like, maybe just practice like I did. So yeah, you start like remembering the sounds you're making, you're producing, right? You start remembering what you're saying, and everything, all that combined with a lot of practice will take you to be speaking someday, you know? But like I said, you have to use what you know. It's not enough to be there and learning and, you know, like grammar. Okay, that's good, right? But now you have to put it to practice. You have to use it.
Absolutely right, yeah. So many students will say, right, next lesson, but they won't actually go two steps back and do this again, you know? It's like, take three steps forward when you learn, two steps back, three steps forward, two steps back, you know?
Review is very important as well.
Absolutely, yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Andy, what do you think?
No, I only wanted to add that, you know, to link it again to the main topic of today, when it comes, you know, to making phrases and sentences, you just have to work on clarity. And there is a structure behind and every language, there is a structure behind. We just have, we have to learn the rules in order to play the game. So that's basically what I want to, you know, like, leave it there. So you can think in.
Excellent. Okay. Last question. Let me see. Let me put this on the screen. Last question is a vocabulary question. Mm. Let me see. Is this coming up yet? What's the difference between improve and enhance? What's the difference between improve and enhance? Andy?
This is a cool one, because I love, you know, working on these differences when it comes to teaching vocabulary. Uh-huh. And again, linking it to the main, you know, topic. To improve, it means to, when you already have something, to make it just better.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to enhance, it means that you have to kind of like do it again in order to, at least that's my understanding of the word. You have to kind of like do it again so you can do it right this time. I hope that the explanation is kind of like clear this way. So to improve, like for example, my Christmas gift, probably maybe next year the sticker will be bigger, the color might be different, I don't know, I might improve it. But to enhance, perhaps it's kind of like, no, next year is not going to be a bottle, it's going to be like a rubber duck.
That's so cool. I have another example, like it's the same like Andy said, but with a different example, right? So let's say that if you like video games, you're going to like this one. So, okay, you are playing, Call of Duty, something like that, right? And you have the handgun, right? A handgun. So to improve your weapon, I mean, it has to be like this. You improve your handgun, right? You can make it faster, like more comfortable to use. You improve your handgun, right? But if you want to enhance your weapon, you have to have a machine gun, all right? So that's how you enhance it, right? So so to improve is to improve one thing, like what you have right now, right? To be better at something, like, okay, I improved my handgun, but I can enhance my weapons. And now I can have a machine gun, for example.
Yeah.
So that's how it works. That's the difference, right? It's pretty much what Andy said, but with weapons.
Absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, for me, what are you going to say, Andy?
No, no, nothing. I just to add, basically it is like, and also it's a little bit, enhance perhaps is also it feels more formal, and for this reason people they feel safer using the word improve instead of enhance. You might use it more in writings than while you speak, but again this depends on your personality or alter ego, as we have been talking through all this podcast. You know, like if your if the way of if your way of communication is a little bit more formal or more academical, when it comes to expressing yourself, go ahead and enhance.
I always think that improvement is to make something better that's maybe not working, as you guys have said, and enhance is to make something better that's already pretty good, you know. So if you want to enhance your vocabulary, it's already good, but we're just going to take it up to another step, you know, like you said about the weapons.
About
you
the
already
weapons.
Have the weapons, but we're going to make it better, you know. So it's already there. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Yeah. So there we go. The difference between improve and enhance. Cool. Right. So I think we're running out of time there. Yeah, guys.
Yes, I think that we're good with everything, right?
Yeah. Well done. So thanks very much for those that were watching on Facebook. Thanks very much for watching, and look out for next time. Any parting comments, Martin?
Sure. First, thank you so much for having me here. I'm honored, to be honest, to learn from you guys from such experienced teachers. I learn a lot, and I hope we help you guys understand how to become more fluent in English. So thank you so much, and see you. Bye-bye.
We'll leave Marty's social platforms, so to get in touch with Marty, please do, so I'll leave that in the comments on the program notes. Andy, you want to say a farewell? Anything you want to leave us with? Words of wisdom?
Yes. Don't forget to make your learning fun. It has always to be a fun experience. So,
Be fantastic. Well, thanks very much for watching, guys, and we'll catch you again very soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
So that's all for this week's episode of the Three Teachers Podcast. We really hope you enjoyed our discussion and the insights shared by our special guest. We want to remind you that you can always reach out to us with any questions or topics or suggestions for future episodes. The contacts will be in the program notes. Don't forget to tune in next week when we will be discussing another fantastic topic related to the English language. In the meantime, keep practicing, don't give up. Fluency is closer than you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now.